A couple of weeks ago, I asked you to begin praying about our study in the book of Deuteronomy. Well, on Tuesday, all of that changed. I was headed to a meeting on Tuesday down in Charlotte and began thinking about our church, began thinking about you, and what God had laid on my heart to share with you. Our Lord, from the very beginning of our relationship, June 3rd will be 10 years since I first stood here. From the very beginning, the burden that He placed on my heart was to teach and to preach His Word in as personal, most intimate way. And so I have tried to, as I've said before, get past the Sunday school answers, and with all due respect to our Sunday school teachers, but get into the deeper things and then apply those deeper things in a very, very personal way. And I did this so that we, each of us, could grow to be what our Lord desires for us to be and to do. And we have done that. We have come a long way. But there is so much more. During my ride to Charlotte, our Lord moved us from Deuteronomy to the book of Acts. And it is through the book of Acts we see some very bold, very challenging times, but we see some very successful times in the founding of the Church of Jesus Christ. Through Acts, I want us to see, of course, God working mightily, mightily to plant, to begin His church. And I want you all to know, all if you don't already, that our Lord used some very, very common people to do some very, very uncommon, miraculous things. And this is where we come in, and this is where my burden lies. We are the common people God desires to use mightily today. I want us to be the common people that God uses in some amazing ways. I want us to be used mightily in bringing glory to Him and to share that glory with the ones around us. And we can be. We can be. We can be so much more than we are if we will simply be what God desires us to be. And so I moved to the book of Acts because as I was going through, riding down the road and praying, and what was welling up inside of me, what burden has been placed on my heart, what challenge has been given me to try to express to you, I could not do through the book of Deuteronomy, with all due respect. And so I said, Lord, where would you have us? And so Peter's sermon came to mind, which is recorded in Acts chapter 2, and I think of Peter, brash and loud and boisterous and heading off in his own energies many times and speaking when he should have been quiet, and quiet when he should have been speaking. But then the Lord touched his heart. The Holy Spirit changed him. And he became the courageous, the outspoken, bold preacher that the church of this day needed. I want to do that so badly. not because I want to do it because I want it for me. I want to do that because I want it for you. I want this church, you the people, to be and to do the amazing things that God has for us. Some of you are. Most of us aren't. And so what God has laid on my heart is to try to bring to you through the book of Acts what these common people did. Planting a church, founding a church, expressing their love to Christ through their martyrdom even. Can we do that? Absolutely. So, here a brief introduction into the book of Acts, and then we will move more into it. Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his sufferings, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. I'll end our reading there. A month ago or so, I spoke from this very passage, and I spoke of Jesus sending the disciples out to be witnesses in the different areas, if you will, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and I challenged us to go into that mission field that begins right outside that door. I have heard many comments back from that sermon about that yes, we are indeed to be serving in a mission field, and it's outside that door, and many of us can do that in many, many different ways. You don't have to go to Harlem. You don't have to go to Belize. But you do have to be involved. You do have to do. Today I want to speak of this power that Jesus is speaking of here. Just as I spoke of Peter, Peter was a common fisherman. But yet Jesus gave them power. Look at verse 8a. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." This Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, did indeed come. We will see that in chapter 2. You know the story well. The power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to do exactly what Jesus called them to do. This power changed them from the common to the uncommon, if you will, and allowed them to do things they had probably never done before in their lives. Do you think Peter had ever stood before a group of Pharisees, Sanhedrin, the people of that day, stood up and preached a word before? These men, these women, they became bold. They became courageous. They became committed to the vision and to the mission Jesus Christ had given them. They still didn't understand it completely. But they knew they could not turn away from it. And what was that mission? What was that mission that Jesus Christ gave the disciples? Well, it's mentioned throughout the Gospels. I will read one passage to you. In Luke 9, verses 1 through 6, we read this: "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." There's a mission statement. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave the town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. That was their mission. Jesus told them in various ways and in many times how to do that, what to do, but there is their mission. That's what those 12 men were given to do. Luke says they set out and they went to do that. The vision Jesus gave them, again, we see it in many different places throughout the Gospels. But anytime you speak of a vision given the disciples, it must include John chapter 14. John chapter 14, the first four verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may be where I am. What a promise. So here they have this mission. They are working, but they know that's not all. That's not the end of the deal. Here is the end. I'm going away and to prepare a place for you. You guys work till I get back. But when I get back, I'm going to take you to be where I am. Man, that'll turn you on. That'll make you step high. Yeah, this is going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to be trouble. But look what awaits us. Folks, the mission is yours. The vision is yours. The same one. Jesus not only called them to mission, he not only implanted that vision in their minds, then he said, don't you dare move until the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you to go out and move. He knew they could not do it on their own. We will see that as we move through Acts chapter 2. What mission, what vision has God given us? The presentation of the gospel, the sharing of the kingdom of God as he gave the disciples, yes, that's ours. This vision, yes, that's ours. But I like to narrow it down. I like to pull it down a little further. In your bulletin, every Sunday I print this. Every Sunday I print this. Because every Sunday we need to see it. We need to see what God has given us as a church. We need to see that every part of our lives should be lived to every part of God's counsel. And that we are indeed a people empowered by the Holy Spirit to love and to serve Jesus Christ, to preach and teach God's holy word, and to encourage others to follow Jesus Christ. If you find yourself doing something other than that in this church, please stop. Everything we do should line up. And that should line up with what we find in Scripture. But as I said this morning, as I try so very hard to do, I want to personalize this mission. I want to go deeper. I want to make it personal to me. I want to make it personal to you. I want to delineate the steps, the parts, that when these things are accomplished, we will succeed at the mission God has given us. And we will succeed at what mission has been given to the disciples. I haven't done this before, and I probably should have done this a long time ago. I have never given you my vision, my desire as a pastor for you of this church. Because I've always tried to give you what the Scriptures say. And that is right. And anything I say that does not follow Scripture, then we need to not listen to that and tell me if it does. But I want to tell you this morning what I desire for you as pastor, as the under-shepherd for you. As a pastor, my desire for you is that you would be men and women who would realize the power of the gospel daily in your life. Minute by minute, hour by hour, all the time, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I desire that you would be men and women who have been freed from the demands and the bondages of this world. I see so many of you fighting that battle, getting caught up in the world and leaving the things of the church behind, getting caught up in the work and leaving the things of God behind. Then you'll go pick up that God thing and you'll try to do that, and then the world calls and it's just this constant struggle. You've worn out the top of the fence. Pick a side. The side I want you to pick is, of course, the Jesus Christ and His gospel. I want you to be free from those challenges and those bondages of life and of the world so that that battle goes away. As pastor, I desire that you would be families that share the worship of God in your home. Craig and the Evangelism Committee led us down this path last year. I've seen some great changes in some of you. I've heard some fantastic stories of where you are doing that worship and that devotion, that quiet time in your homes. And I know most of you aren't doing it either. All of us. All of us. My desire as pastor is that you would be men. Men who would see their primary purpose in life is to love God and to enjoy Him forever. And more than that, that you would teach your wife and your children that that is their primary purpose as well. Men, I desire that for you. My desire is that you would be men who did not find your value or purpose in life through your work, or through what you have or have not accomplished in this life. For so many men, their value statement is found in their employment. For so many men, their value statement is found in what kind of legacy I'm going to leave here. I would rather that you find value in being a child of God, and that you would realize and understand that all of the privileges and all of the rights are yours because you are a son of the King. That's your value. That's your purpose. As pastor, my desire for the women of this church is that they would not be threatened or challenged by the role of being a biblical woman. And you ladies know the battle of that much more than I. But this world fights that so much. I pray that you would be women who love and respect your husbands, and love and nurture your children. My desire is that you would be women who do not seek to emulate the women we see on the magazine covers. But rather understand that you are a child of God, and you too are a daughter of a King. And all the rights and all the privileges that come with that state are yours. My desire is that we would be a people that look more to living a life of faith in Jesus Christ, rather than a life of faith in our traditions. Now, I know I'm stepping on some toes there, and we've had the conversations. We in the ARP are eat up with traditions. Some of them very good. Some of them are killing us and are killing our churches. My vision, my desire for you is that you would understand the power and authority of which Jesus Christ speaks here in Acts chapter 1. And that you would learn, that I would learn. I haven't learned fully what it means to live in that power and to live in that authority every day. I'm learning. I want you to learn. And then I want you to be the one who goes out boldly and courageously living in that power. I have to be honest with you. When I go on the internet and read from the different churches and I go on the news, the Christian news, and I see this church doing this and this church people doing this, I'm envious. Not because I want the acclamation for my church. I want to see your name there. I want to see your name there. I want us to understand what it means to live in the power Jesus Christ is speaking of here, of which we see evidence in Acts chapter 2. While we were in Belize, I believe we lived in this power and authority every day. We rose early in the morning and enjoyed the beauty of that creation, of our Lord's creation. We would then join together in fellowship around a cup of coffee and breakfast. After breakfast, we would move up on the veranda, as they call it, on the second floor. And we would sing, and we would worship together while we were watching the woodpeckers and the hummingbirds. After worship, we would then move out into our day's activities. And this is where I knew we were working in the power and authority of God. Because we would go out fully aware. Every day, we would go out fully aware that we were doing what God had called us to do. And we knew. We knew that we would see Him along the way. And we knew we would find success in whatever it was we were doing that day. It was that simple. And many times we didn't know what we were going to be doing that day. Then following work, we would come back and gather for dinner. And this was the treat. Because with us for dinner would be 15, 20, 25, 30, 45 people from the village who would begin showing up about 5:30. And dinner was at 6:30 or 7 or whenever Ellie would get it fixed. And you'd sit back and you'd listen to the laughter and the conversation. After that, we would then close out our day with discussions, fellowship, whatever. On a couple of nights, a young man by the name of Douglas would come up and play and sing for us. Eddie would sing. We would sing. But I have to tell you about Friday night. The last Friday we were there, this 45 folks went up to the chapel. And we made a huge circle. And we began singing. And as I sort of pulled back from the singing and looked around that circle, I thought, this is what heaven will be like. Because to my right was a lady who was Creole. Her mother sat two chairs over to the left. And the minute we started singing, her hands were up in the air and she was singing and praising and praying. I looked around and we had Mayan, Hispanic, and a bunch of us clear folks. We're not white or Caucasian, we're clear in this big circle. And we were singing, out of tune, off key, but it was beautiful. I didn't want to leave. We were living in the power and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in that time. No doubt. But I ask you, I ask me, why do I have to go to Belize to enjoy that level of worship and that level of fellowship? Why do I have to go to Belize to go to enjoy that level of understanding the power and the authority of God? Why? 2 Sundays we were there, we worshiped with Pastor Joe. I ask you to pray for him and the people of Shepherd's House Church. I didn't tell you it was a Pentecostal church. I intentionally didn't tell you. It was a simple worship. Several young men got up, played their guitars, and sang. The overhead worked half the time. Pastor Joe got up and preached. A simple sermon. But I was asked more than once, why can't we have worship like that at New Sterling? Now, please don't hear me say that I have not experienced God here, and I have not experienced the Spirit here, because I can name you some services where He was more than apparent. We can have worship here. But see, we have some things in the way. We have to break loose from the bonds that restrain us. I know some of you in this church, when we're singing and we're worshiping, you want to raise your hands just like the dear lady did who sat 2 chairs over from me, and you want to praise God with your hands lifted up. I know you want to, but you're afraid of what so-and-so might say. When I make a point in a sermon, I know some of you want to say, amen. But you're afraid of the expectations we have here. Folks, I believe in an orderly, reverent worship guided by the Scriptures. But I also believe there are times when we are restraining the Spirit and we squelch Him. I pray that we could worship the way our hearts are led to worship, not emotionally driven, but driven by the Spirit. I have a dream. I have a vision. I have been burdened with what I desire you to be. And I must tell you that it hurts my heart to the very core when I see you being held back for whatever reason. As we go through this study of the book of Acts, I will try to delineate and give you elements of that I have been burdened with. And we will do that as we dig into the deep, deep truths of our Lord Jesus Christ, the work of the Spirit, and God's ordaining the birth of a church. These were common people in the book of Acts. They had a very uncommon experience. They were not afraid. They were not afraid to go out. They were not afraid to turn their backs on the world. They were not afraid to sell everything they had and give it to the church. We have a hard time paying tithes around here. They weren't afraid to live in the power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be afraid. We cannot live in fear. We cannot be afraid to go out and share the gospel. Oh, somebody might laugh at me. I might say the wrong thing. I might be accused of being one of them religious fundamentalist fanatic things. I have been, yes. We cannot be afraid of turning our backs on the ways of this world and leaving it behind. We cannot be afraid of living in the power and the authority of which Jesus, which God the Spirit talks about here in Acts 1 and Acts 2. We must rise up and be more than what we are. And we can do this. As I said, we can be more than what we are if we will only be what God desires us to be. That's my burden for you. That's my burden for me. To be more. To do more. To be more than what I am. I pray that we would indeed rise up and be that which our Lord calls us to be. And we will learn that and experience that as we go through the book of Acts.